Okay. Yes, the numbers are checking off, so that's a good sign. 8:01 a.m., August 9th, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, 9/9/12. August 9th, 8:01. Yesterday was one of those days. It was like, I got back, didn't really want to go to begin with, but I thought, no. I've got to record, I've got to do the podcast, I can't miss another day. So I got to get out, I've got to walk, I've got to do the thing. And I came out and it was really, really bright. The sun was out shining bright. There was no clouds in the sky. It was a little bit later in the morning, so there weren't pockets of shadow. And I could have sworn I pressed the button. It's a very big button. It's not easy to miss. But obviously I failed. And I never once looked at it afterwards to see if it was still ticking along, like I'm doing right now. And it is. Okay. Good. So when I got home and I said my normal closing and opened up the box to shut off the file, it wasn't running and there was no file. There wasn't even a stub of a file where I might have started one and botched it. It was just not there. So anyway, it's Sunday morning, it's a beautiful day, it's 60, maybe 58, so I think I put on the picture 52. It's really quite chilly. It is, oh, 1753, that's a good time. Okay. It's really quite a chilly morning this morning. It's going to get a warm day before it's over, I'm sure, but it's quite chilly at the moment. And I'm enjoying the chilliness. I'm looking forward to my breakfast, but I'm enjoying the chill. Today's going to be barbecue rib day, too, so I'm looking forward to barbecuing a slab of ribs. I really probably shouldn't, but I haven't barbecued ribs all season, and I'm due. So, we're going to barbecue some ribs today. Have some sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts. I think it's going to be a delicious dinner. Ah, yeah. So, I've got my head in Walk the Fire, the project for Moreau. It's very intriguing. I'm quite engaged with it, and I really need to get that out because he needs it by like Monday. So, well, he needs it by the 12th, so Wednesday. So I gotta get this thing taken care of and off my plate. I've gotta get Zephyr's call taken care of and off my plate. I've gotta find some new cover art for six books that cannot be named at the moment. And let's see what we're gonna do with that. Let's see what else. That's about it. It's not like it's not enough. Oh, I have to get my taxes ready. I have to pay taxes this week. Estimated taxes for the year. So it's not gonna happen today. Today's Sunday, I'm taking today off. I work, I'll let Moreau's project percolate, but I'm gonna make ribs. I'm gonna play with the family. Today's a null, an intentional null. So let's see, what else? Where am I? I keep thinking about this memoir idea. I have no idea why. The memoir idea is not something that it's one of those, I can't really imagine it. It's like, who cares? But everybody keeps saying, oh, I'd buy it in a heartbeat. I'm kind of a boring guy. I mean, I grew up in the woods, back in the pucker brush of what was then rural Maine and is now a suburb of the city of Portland. But back in the day, the nearest neighbor was a half mile away. It was one of those back in the woods kinds of places where not too far from where the beans of Egypt, Maine were made famous. So that's the kind of upbringing, that's the kind of background I started with. Just dirt poor. We had a big garden. If we didn't grow enough food in the garden, we didn't have enough food to get through till spring. We ate a lot of potatoes. We ate a lot of corn. We ate a lot of stuff that we could grow a lot of. Stuff that would freeze. We didn't do a lot of canning. My mother wasn't really. She did a little bit, but canning required equipment and time, and you had to be fussy with it in order to keep things from growing in your vegetables. She did can some stuff. Yellow beans, green beans. Pickles. Did a lot of pickles. It was always a big 5-gallon ceramic crock with a wooden lid. My father got it from my grandfather, who wasn't making pickles anymore. He had several of them. And so you'd put the pickles in, put a brine, and then there was a pickle sinker. It was a heavy board that went on the top of the brine. And sometimes there was even a rock on it or a brick. And it held the pickles down in the brine, because otherwise they floated to the surface and half of the top pickle wouldn't be under the brine. So I had to reach in and pull the cover off, which kept the mice out. And then you had to reach in and pull the pickle sinker out. And then you could have a pickle. And these were bitter, dill, delicious pickles. My mother also made ripe cucumber pickles that we called elephant ears. They were a sweet pickle. They made them from the cucumbers that had gone by. They get to be really large and they turn yellowish and overripe, and you can't really eat them as cucumbers anymore. But if you cut them into quarters and seed them, the outside hull makes a really nice pickle. Put a sweet pickle brine on it, and those she would can. We also made root beer. I remember making root beer a few times. Root beer was always interesting to make, because you couldn't drink it right away. You had to put it in a bottle and wait. It was like, really? So why don't we make some ahead? And we never did. Soda wasn't something that we had a lot of growing up. A lot of milk, we had a lot of water. There was always a coffee maker, a big aluminum percolator, one of the old style silver metal percolators. Had a huge basket on top of it. I think it held like a gallon. Because you'd make it in the morning and it would last, well, it'd last till midday. You'd make another one in the afternoon. There was always a pot of coffee on the wood stove. And we had a wood stove in our kitchen. We had an electric stove as well, but we did most of our cooking and heating in the winter on the wood stove. And whoever got up first had to stoke up the wood stove. So I learned how to do that early on. And wood smoke, bacon, eggs, home fries. That was breakfast most of the time. It's a wonder I have any arteries left. I like to chop wood. Splitting wood was a blast. Before I left home, I did a lot of splitting the wood. It was, I hated the loading in the woodshed. Because Dad would buy cordwood, and then we'd have to cut it up into stove length, and then we'd have to split it. So he had a chainsaw and an X-leg horse, sawhorse. And it was my job to keep the log moving while he cut it. I hate those chainsaw things. They're loud and they scare the crap out of me. One year he rented a hydraulic wedge, and he put the log in the slot, and a hydraulic ram pushed a metal wedge through the wood. It was slow. That was the thing. It was slow. If you could get a good swing on the axe and you had a decent piece of wood, you could split the wood in a single blow. Even some of the biggest pieces would go real quick. So split in half and then split each half in quarters and then toss the quarters into the shed. That's how I grew up. We had horses too. We had a couple horses. And so mucking out the stalls, chopping wood, cooking on the wood stove. They said about wood was that it'll heat you twice. Once when you cut it, once when you burn it. It was right too. Chopping wood, particularly in the fall when it was 40, 50 degrees outside, you could get down to shirt sleeves pretty darn quick. Pretty darn quick. So, yeah, for entertainment, I'd go walking in the woods. We had 230-odd acres that was mostly woodlot behind our house. Land that would be worth several millions today, but was sold off when my parents got divorced. Which is kind of too bad, but stuff happens, and that was one of them, so we deal with what's left. At the moment, my mother left the house to her niece. So the property, the old family homestead, is, I believe, went to my niece. Maybe. My niece or my grandniece? My niece. You know, I forget, because I wasn't there for the reading of the will. So I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter. I know that it's not me, so it's just as well. I don't think I would want it. I might like to move back to Maine, though. Having a place where I could go get back to some of those early roots, back to the woods and water, back to the ocean. Even if I can't really get to the ocean anymore, access to the sea is extremely limited in Maine. I think it's limited everywhere now, but I don't have any family who's working the waters anymore. I don't know anybody on the coast, so that I don't have any connections there, so it's not like I'm going to go be a fisherman or something. You can still go to the public beaches. Poplin Beach is still pretty popular. It's a state park. There are others. They're actually pretty accessible in the off-season. There's a local park in South Portland called Kettle Cove. It's really quite pleasant. My brother served on the lighthouse, Goat Island Light, before it was decommissioned, but Coast Guard's decommissioning most of its lighthouses now. Yeah, automated systems that do the job that the lighthouse keepers used to do. The logistics involved in keeping the automated systems going is much less. You can fly a chopper full of supplies out, keep it going for 3 months at a time. because it doesn't take much. So the lighthouses are all being decommissioned, which is too bad. I kind of like to live in a lighthouse for a while. I envy my brother that experience, but there's very little else that I envy him for. He followed me into the Coast Guard, and he became an engineman, and spent some time down in New Orleans. That's where I met his wife, Terry, a woman who is altogether too good for him, but that's okay. I'm just sort of half teasing. My brother's turned out to be a pretty good guy. My sister Rosie's a little older than Rusty. She's pretty cool too. I still don't understand how she spent so much time in Italy. She goes to Italy and spends 3, 4, 5, 6 months at a time. I'm not quite sure how or why or what she does there. But she pulls it off and she enjoys it, so what's to argue there? Good morning. Good morning, sir. So, and my sister Laura was on the podcast last October. So yeah, I wouldn't mind going back to Maine. I'm still jonesing for that little carriage house that had been redone as an office with the glass French doors in the old weathered gatehouse with the barnwood floors polished. It was an Indian rug. One of the brightly colored red ones on the floor. An oriental. The walls were bookshelves. It was gorgeous, it was beautiful. And it had a beautiful view of well-kept grounds. Something I wouldn't mind having if I could get my own grounds maintained. Shit. Right now I'm kind of caught because the markers, the people came and marked off all the underground fittings for the fence guy because he needs to dig holes. And it's marked it on the grass. I'm afraid to cut the grass for fear that I'll take the marks off. But it's been a week since they came and marked. I'm also afraid they're gonna grow out. Although I suspect having the extra length of grass won't hurt in terms of having a little extra protection for this effort that's going to happen here. Gorgeous. And I'm glad that I came out this morning. I'm glad I got out early. I'm going to go home and look for my breakfast. But I got to make sure I get this uploaded and posted before I fiddle with breakfast, because otherwise I'll forget. Honest to Pete, my short-term memory is just pretty well shot right now. Not exactly sure why. Probably because I got so much crap going on, I can't keep track of it all. Just a hunch. Anyway, here I am. Wow, this grass is getting long. Back at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And I'll talk to you then and try to remember to record it.